Our long national nightmare is over. A contract has been reached. Terry McLaurin and the Commanders can have a press conference. They can smile, they can hug, they can high five, and they can pretend like nothing ever happened and there was never any animosity.
In your face, everybody, I'm here. Ha! I didn't have to go on vacation or get strep throat or something crazy. I get to see it live and in charge. Thank goodness. I don't know, man. I'm gonna miss it going around in circles and talking about contract terms and holdouts and the CBA and more animosity between the two players and what day needs to start practicing in full. I'm gonna miss it. Not even a little bit. Thank you. Let's please concentrate on a football season that is rapidly approaching.
I'm looking at hotels in Santa Clara for February right now. Looks like the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel in San Jose is only $126 a night. Anybody want to get down on this one? Get a couple of rooms, a little block with your buddy? Anybody looking up flights? A good offense just got a lot better. Jaden Daniels' supporting cast is coming into shape here as this photo starts to materialize. We're starting to develop this Polaroid. Wide receiver one, Terry McLaurin, is signed. Wide receiver two, Deebo Samuel, got to touch the football in the preseason. Had a whale of a camp. His only touch, as a matter of fact, in the three dress rehearsals, one of which Washington took moderately seriously. He had a 19-yard end around. Looked fast.
And looked good.
Looked like old Deebo. Wide receiver three, I think Noah Brown's going to be ready. Did you see any of the video of him before the Saturday game?
That was encouraging.
He was running. He was cutting. He was sweating. He was sprinting. He looked like Noah Brown again. So I'm feeling good about where he's at with his health. You got tight end one, Zach Ertz, who we didn't see in the preseason, ready to go, locked and loaded. Austin Eckler in the running back group, led by Chris Rodriguez and Ja'Cory Krosky, Walter Payton, all lined up and ready to play football. So let's do this thing together. Let's have a season. Terry McLaurin is a Washington Commander for the next four seasons under contract. Now, here's what we got to figure out.
Sure.
What's that guaranteed money going to look like? Because as we've talked about the whole time, we talked through the lens of the AAV. The only number that really matters is guarantees and how far into the contract they go. That's what tells you what this new deal is about. But on the surface, like, this is now agent victory lap time. A lot of people yelling about Buddy Baker, not knowing what he was doing, screaming about how he was in over his head. Right now, he gets to leak the numbers to his reporters, like Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports, $32 million a year. When you count the first year already under contract for McLaurin, because it's three new seasons, basically comes down to right at $30 million a year, which is where a lot of us thought this could end. But the real question is going to be, did he do better than the DK Metcalf guaranteed number 2 years older? Because if he did, Buddy Baker needs to rent out an auditorium somewhere, fill it up with people, and walk out and take a bow when those curtains open.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, the real terms, the real numbers, that'll come at some point. I'm far less concerned about that. People sort of, you know, I think kind of had a different view of my actual opinion. I don't want money out of people's pockets. I don't care if, oh, this guy got 17 guaranteed, this guy got 21. When I go, hey, Javon Kinlaw, that contract's too big. Not because I don't want Javon Kinlaw to be financially successful. It's because the salary cap space allocated to Javon Kinlaw in future parts of the deal, I scratch my head. That means you may not be able to give Quan Martin as much money as I'd like, and you have to find the new safety. You may not be able to give Mikey Sanders still a nice extension. You maybe have to draft another corner, or when Laremy Tunsil wants to be paid, or Frankie Louvo wants to be paid, or anybody next. So I care about that salary cap hit. I care about the cap hit first, second, third, all the way down to 217th. Then I care about off-ramps. If and when it gets bad, as we've seen with contracts a million times, when John Allen's contract wasn't up, but they could get out of it with very little financial concern. And that kind of became a governing principle as this team was building their roster over the last calendar year plus. You'd go, you know what probably makes some sense is they move on from Jonathan Allen without much cap hit and they'll end up replacing
him. That's actually a really good tangible example to make the point of John Allen was under contract for a lot of money this football season.
Yeah.
But zero of that contract was guaranteed. So what Washington did is they quite literally just lopped that year of the deal off with no guarantees, and they didn't have to pay him anything, and he hit free agency. And so when you could sign Terry McLaurin for 10 years and $300 million like some baseball contract with the New York Yankees. If you want to give him the San Diego Padres Manny Machado 10-year $300 million deal where he makes $30 million per, I mean, Buddy Baker could do that, and he could put that out there, and everyone could go crazy. The question is, how much is guaranteed? Because if $60 million is guaranteed, then it's really just 2 years at $60 million, $30 million per. And that's what we're trying to figure out. Now, I don't know how many people care about that, to your point. I don't get the sense that most fans do. I don't think I'm in the small minority, but I'm probably in the minority to say, I just watched a stare down. I just watched two guys square off like fighters with Dana White in the middle before a big fight. I'm kind of curious to see how it goes. Mm-hmm. They played chicken for a bunch of months. If you don't care who won and you just walk away now because they're not playing chicken anymore, God bless you. I'd like to know who flinched. So I'm going to want to know, not just because I want to know, did Terry and the agent win? Did the team cave? Did he have more leverage than we thought? Or did the team never budge at all? If he got 40, 45 million in guarantees or something, and the numbers released just look very friendly for the player and the agent, then Adam Peters played this thing beautifully and never caved, and they came to him. That matters too. But it also is relevant from a football perspective. What kind of shape are they in for an extension in a couple of years for guys like Tunsil, who's due up next year, and Luvu's due up, or when Jaden Daniels start being paid? So there are reasons to care about this, but I do think, for the most part, if you're a fan of this team, is he under contract? Yes. I don't need to know anything else. What time's the game, and is he in uniform? Those are the things you care about, and he will be in uniform in week one against the Giants, and for that reason, we're celebrating.
100%. To me, this is more longer term than it is the early part of the season. And what I mean by that is, you heard Kadri Ismail on with the Junkies, Dan Orlovsky, audio that we'll play later on in the program, have basically come out and said the exact same thing, where it's probably too soon to have him out there for a full allotment of snaps. Probably too soon to rely on him as wide receiver one. Not enough time with him ramping up fully into to fully be Terry McLaurin, which is why I was beating the drum starting really a week or more ago. I understand you're looking for a contract. I hope you get it. There's also this football season, though, where now you've removed the ability to be Terry McLaurin from yourself by not practicing with the football team. I understand what you're doing, and I get it. But so now this is, the team needs to be judicious. Again, that's what Orlovsky was talking about, to make sure that he's himself. And you may not see Terry McLaurin for 75 snaps on offense in week one. You may not see him 4 days later in week two against Green Bay. It may have to be kind of an easing in, but this is about the next 3 years after this one, more so than it is about week one through three.
So he's going to play against the Giants. Mm-hmm. Had he not have been back today, that would have been in serious doubt. And in fact, today was my date, if you remember, that I circled on the calendar.
Yes, indeed, that's right.
For zero Dark Paulson. In fact, a couple people hit me up this weekend and said, can't wait to hear your rant on Monday with like videos of Terry McLaurin seemingly sulking on the sideline during the preseason game. He had terrible body language. I'm not a body language guy. You guys are. But it was just kind of sitting there. And doesn't bother me, but people seem to be miffed by it. But they're like, here we go, Monday.
It looked like he was having a lot of fun, I'll say that.
It looked like they were getting that close to a deal. Although, yeah. Ask Adam Schefter, who breaks all the news all the time. An hour before this thing came out, he was on TV saying that they're nowhere near a deal, that there's no progress being made. He said that on television an hour before this thing broke. And then like 72 minutes later, he's got the tweet going, I'm hearing that the Commanders and Terry McLaurin have a new contract. So that either escalated very quickly out of nowhere, or maybe the team just was leaking absolutely nothing all along.
I'm very hungry because I haven't been fed a story.
Right, exactly. It's almost like he just puts out there exactly what he's told.
Copy, paste.
They haven't sent me the email yet with the terms. But anyway, this is a good day. This is a win. Now, I do think there's some meat that we need to chew on with this. Did he do any damage by not practicing all of camp? I know you think he did. How much damage? That's probably the better question. Because you can't tell me that by showing up on the 25th, doing nothing all offseason, he's going to be the exact same shape, the exact same guy on 9-7-2-5 against the Giants that he would have been with a full offseason. That's unreasonable. That's silly. If that was the case, then nobody would practice and nobody would have training camp and none of this exercise would matter. It'd all be futile. But is it noticeably different? Did he put himself at more risk of the soft tissue injury? That's what I worry about. Mm-hmm. A groin or a hammy or a this or a that. I mean, these are things we got to monitor now. And you know, if he pulls up in week one or week two or week three, there's going to be this huge I told you so from all the people that were angry that he wasn't there, right? If he just hits the ground sprinting, I think the first play of the game is going to go to Terry McLaurin to open the season. I mean, that would just be fitting in football and Cliff Kingsbury kind of doing a a who's who moment.
Mm-hmm.
But you throw him a screen or a little slant, or maybe you try to get him open down the field or something. That would
little
be
go ball. Yeah.
A blast of a way to start the season. Like, what if first and 10 from the 30-yard line, 70-yard touchdown to Terry McLaurin to open the season? Would just be iconic and legendary. But my guess is it's a pitch count in week one, 20, 25 snaps. It's a pitch count in week two on a short week with the Packers.
Around the same, probably, yeah.
20, 25 snaps. You ramp them up a little bit after that. But they've got to be very, very careful here.
Yeah.
For the people that just go, I told you, deadlines, get deals done. August 25th, he's here. This was all irrelevant. You guys worried about nothing. As if he's just going to go play 67 snaps in week one and go 7 for 127 in a touchdown. I'd slow your roll a little bit on your victory lap.
That's kind of my point. They need to be smart about it. Like, this isn't a video game where a guy that hasn't practiced football, and you've hammered this more than I have, and I think it's a smart point. Remember, they go tempo, right? They're not here to wait around for adjustments.
They ran the most no huddle plays in the NFL last year that any team has run since Chip Kelly was doing his Chip Kelly thing with the Eagles a bunch of years ago. The most.
Yeah.
Their tempo was the fastest in the league. That wears you down. And as a receiver, you're running a lot of routes. Terry jokingly one time saying he was getting his cardio.
Got some cardio.
Right? Not getting any passes thrown his way. But with him, when you're running those deep routes, you just kind of peel it off and go right to the sideline when you're in shape. So, yeah, you've got to be careful with him.
Totally. And that's, you know, whether it was today or Sunday or last Tuesday, you still would have to be careful. I mean, again, we kind of crossed that point where you could have a normal beginning to the season. My big concern, you know, the minimum concern is, hey, he's not quite himself just yet because this is his training camp. It's like a pitcher that signs in you know, mid-March, expecting him to go out and be the superstar that just signed right away is probably not fair. He needs spring training. He needs that ramp up. Same thing here. Now then you add in the worst case is that injury that comes from this, right? Where he's trying to compete. He's trying to, you know, go make a play for his team and he's not ready. It's not his fault. He's not ready exactly just because of the calendar, the ramp up, et cetera. But that would be now instead of just, hey, a couple weeks, you're not quite yourself and you're getting up to speed on a pitch count. Now it's not a couple weeks. Now it's a couple months with the quad, with the hamstring, with the groin, with the whatever. That's to me the thing that I worry about this year kind of derailing it.